This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
It is now 12 PM and you are listening to Connecting Cultures Features on ORFM. Kia ora everyone, I'm Arina Aiza, the Community Connector here at Otago Access Radio, and we are here for another live Connecting Cultures Features show. Join myself, Arina, the station's Community Connector, every Friday at 12 PM for the new Connecting Cultures Features live show, featuring interviews with the multicultural people of Dunedin and our amazing Connecting Cultures broadcasters. You get to hear songs from all kinds of languages, news and updates from the multi-ethnic community. So with us today are the Harbay brothers, Mohammed and Aladdin. They are former refugees from Syria who have made New Zealand home since 2017. They have the talents and passions for music and would perform in events. We are excited to have them be talking with us today about their stories. So kia ora, Mohammed and Aladdin, thank you for being here on our show.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. We also have Ragdan as the translator for us today if there is any Arabic conversations happening today, because unfortunately I don't speak Arabic. How are you guys today?
Good.
Yeah, good, thank you.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Yeah, I think today's getting really interesting since we'll be speaking today.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Mohammed, can you introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Mohammed Al Harbay. I'm 23 years old.
What do you do currently?
I'm currently working as a barber.
Yes.
I have a barber shop in town.
Yes.
It's called The Prince Cut.
We're going to talk a lot about that business because I think it's a really inspiring story to have like your own barber shop.
Yeah.
And the first time I saw you, you had like really good hair. I thought that, yeah, you're passionate about hair.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. What about you, Aladdin?
My name is Aladdin and I'm 24 years old. And I'm working with my brother.
Oh, that's fun. Is it fun working with your brother?
Yeah.
You don't fight?
Sometimes.
I live with my brother at home, so it's very hard because it's just two of us. But sometimes if we fight, it's like normal because family.
Yeah, it's normal.
So no problem. No. So let's start talking about your business. So when did you start building it, basically?
It's been open for a year now. Yeah, and it's going better day by day.
Yeah. Where is the barbershop?
It's on Prince Street, 142 Prince Street.
Why did you start a barbershop?
Actually, I tried to study, but it's too hard here as English is my second language. Yeah, so I decided to open my own shop because I don't like to work like as a normal, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I opened my own shop and with help with my family. Yeah, they supported me and QEB was supported me as well, and my friends. So yeah, they made me exciting.
It's great that you got a lot of support from the community.
Yeah.
And what were the struggles to open the barbershop in the beginning? I'm sure it's not easy.
Yeah, it's hard actually to open like a new shop and people don't know. But Kiwi people like to try new things, you know. If they say, like, if they see something open new, they have to try it and support it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Who are the demographics of people who usually come to your shop? Is it just like males because it's a barber shop?
Lots of males,
but also we have females. Yeah,
that's great.
We do just undercuts. And designs.
Yeah, we'll have to check out your designs and stuff. Do you have a Facebook page that people can look?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page, The Prince Cut Barbershop. And then Instagram.
Yeah. And what about you, Aladdin? What was the position that you were at when you started?
When we opened the shop, I wasn't like that experienced with haircut. Then I studied as a hairdressing at the Polytech, and I finished my course, and I started working with my brother as well. Yeah, I learned from the zero to the 10, you know.
That's great.
Yeah, but now I'm as a professional.
Wow.
Yeah.
You always start
because
from
my
somewhere.
Dad, he helped us. He was a hairdresser before in Syria. He was a haircut for men.
So
he teach me.
So that is the background that your dad was a hairdresser.
Yeah.
Is he proud of you that you have your own business?
Yeah, sure.
He must be. I think that's really inspiring to hear, because you mentioned that, you know, you tried studying and, you know, it didn't work, and that's fine. You know, I don't think studying is for everyone. People have individual pathways that they can choose.
Yeah.
And are you happy with where you're at right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we are very happy.
Yeah. Do you have any plans in the future with your business?
Maybe we're going to open a new shop in the future. Not in Dunedin, maybe Wellington.
Somewhere else. I think having two businesses in Dunedin is quite hard because it's so small, right?
Yeah, it's too small and it's not that busy.
I think that's great that you have, you know, aspirations. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
So now, let's talk about your former refugee stories, because I feel like it's such an important story to tell people, because usually people only hear it on the news, but like now I'm meeting you guys, and I'm hearing, like I'm seeing how amazing you guys are doing now, and I'm sure that you had a really good life back then as well, which I think should be acknowledged by everyone. So can you tell us about that story? You can start from the beginning.
Sure. And it's in 2011, the war is start in Syria. Then when it started, we moved to Lebanon. We didn't see anything of from the war because we moved early. So we start working there in Lebanon, and we stop study because it's hard to study there because it's too expensive.
Yeah, it's too expensive and it's hard, like, because we are a big family, you know.
How many people?
We are 7.
Big.
Yeah, very big. And it's hard, like, if me and my brother gonna study and my dad only working, it's not enough money for the family.
Yeah.
So we started to support my family and work.
What kind of work?
We worked as waiters in a restaurant. Yeah. We worked there for 5 years.
5 years. Yeah.
That's very long.
Yeah.
And what age were you back then?
14. I was 14.
I was 15.
Very young.
Yeah.
Young and working.
Very young, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very hard because we started like 6 hours a day. Then it became 12, 11 hours.
So basically full time.
Yeah, full time.
That is very interesting.
More than full time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's hard.
Were you guys working at the same restaurant?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We always working together.
And then you guys open a business together. I think that's very special that you guys have the brother bond, right? Yeah. That's amazing. And what did you learn from that experience? I'm sure it's not easy.
That it was good for us because we meet people every day. So that's good for us to make a friend to,
and it's also teach you how to gain your own money.
Yes,
you know,
young age.
Yeah, young age. Don't ask dad and mom to give you money.
Yeah. You feel a sense of
you work hard to get money and do whatever you want. support your family.
Mm. Yep. Yeah. Because when I heard you guys are 23 and 24,
yeah.
Like, I'm 22. Oh. So, like, we're in the same age, but you guys have a business, you know? So I felt like, wow.
Yeah.
So there must be, like, a really good story behind that. And it shows, you know, you guys were working ever since you guys were teenagers. Mm-hmm. So that all that experiences must have built you as a person, right?
Right.
Yeah. And after working as a waiter, mm-hmm. were there anything else that happened after that?
We get a call from the UN. They say, like, if you would like to travel out of Lebanon. And my dad says, yes, we're going to travel. Then they decided to come to New Zealand. Yeah, after that, we came to New Zealand in 2017.
Mm.
Yeah. It was very hard at the beginning.
Yeah.
Must be.
Yeah.
It's harder than when we moved to Lebanon.
Oh.
Yeah, because it's a new language.
Yes.
Yeah, new language, new culture. And new time as well.
Yeah. Confused, yeah.
Yeah.
New weather.
Yeah, new weather.
Everything is...
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, so everything was very complicated at the beginning.
Yeah. Did you know about New Zealand before?
No, we haven't heard about New Zealand.
What do you think New Zealand was before you came?
My dad, he studied about New Zealand before we come.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because he was watching on the YouTube, how is New Zealand, how is the life there.
Ah, yeah. So he can imagine.
Yeah. Also, yeah, so it's in the map, and it was the last country in the world.
No. Very small.
Oh, yeah, so where is New Zealand?
Yeah, it's interesting, right, when you think about...
In the beginning, we thought it's near Germany or something.
And yeah. I think that's the, you know, if you think about a Western country, usually it's over there.
Yeah,
close.
That's very interesting. And you did mention about the things that's hard for you to cope. But what was the hardest thing?
Hardest thing in New Zealand, you mean? Or?
Yeah.
Like, the hardest thing when I started study at school, the teacher was, like, teaching...
Kiwis people, so it's... He speak hard. Very fast. It was hard for us.
And people come and talk with us. We don't know how to answer them, you know. So we feel very shy and like I can't continue.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
I can't continue living
the
here.
Conversation.
Yeah, I decided to go back to an Arabic country. Yeah.
You felt that way.
Yeah, but day by day we get used to the language. We start studying. I studied like 6 months high school.
Ah.
Yeah, then I moved to Otago Polytech.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you came when you were at year 13 at high school? Or
no, I was 18 actually.
18, oh, yeah. So okay. Wow, and you?
I was 19, but I studied also just 6 months in the high school. Then we moved to Otago Polytech.
Okay.
Yeah. We studied English there. From level 2 to level 4.
And when you made that change, how did you feel when you made that decision to go to Polytech?
Yeah, it's better because they only teach English.
Not everything.
Yeah.
So like, they teach everything.
Yeah, I can imagine like learning science in a different language, learning maths in a different language, right? Yeah. And you want to learn just English at that point.
The English.
Just how to start speaking with people, you know, and getting conversation with them.
Mm.
That's it.
Yeah, definitely. Gosh, that must be a really hard decision to make as well. But are you happy that you made that?
Yeah, we are happy now.
Mm. That's great. So now that, you know, life has settled, if you reflect back on those days when you were not in New Zealand, when you were...
In Syria.
Syria, like a refugee, what was the hardest thing that you think you coped, you overcame, that you felt, that made you very strong today?
In Lebanon, you mean, or
Lebanon, Syria, or because you didn't go through the war,
yeah.
Right? So that is something to be so grateful for, right?
Yeah, of course.
Huh. That's amazing.
لا أتسألك لما كنت بسوريا شيء لما أتسألك لما كنت بسوريا ولما أنت لازم تكون يعني
شاكر
إنك أنت ما حضرت شيء من الحرب إنه ما شفت شيء يعني دغري طلعت على لبنان وهيك إنه ما شفت شيء من الحرب ولا أنت لازم تكون مشكور لهذا الشيء.
Yeah, I was grateful because we didn't see anything from the war, but in the beginning we see some bad things in Syria. Then when we moved to Lebanon, we forget everything, yeah, because we were young, you know.
Yeah, we visited Syria in 2016 as well.
Yeah.
Oh, you went to visit again.
Yeah, me and my brother. Yeah,
only
we went
two
back
of you?
To Syria.
Why?
Because I haven't got anything
ID
any ID
oh.
from Syria or some, so I went to Syria to get my ID.
Okay.
And my brother as well.
Because you were 16 and you needed
yeah.
to have a official ID.
It was very bad situation.
Yeah.
Everything on the ground.
Mm.
Yeah.
No building.
No building.
No building and yeah.
How did that feel seeing?
Yeah.
Very sad.
When we went back to Syria, we confused what happened there. Yeah.
Yeah, we only stayed there maybe 1 or 2 weeks and just we wanted to go back to Lebanon.
Yeah, because all my friends there are moved.
And
it's safer.
Do you know where they moved?
Some of them moved to Turkey, some of them moved to Germany, some of them, yeah.
Ah, so everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
Do you still keep in touch with them?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we talk with them.
That is
by the
good.
Facebook,
yeah. I feel, you know, because you guys were young, like,
yeah.
how would you get all those information? Because there's no Facebook back
yeah.
then,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But the fact that you're still in touch, even though you're, like, separated.
Yeah. I have my friend when I was in the high school in Syria. So they still talk with me.
And where are they now?
They are some of them in Holland.
Holland.
Yeah. Holland.
Okay. Wow. Everywhere. Like
yeah,
international.
Everywhere.
It's amazing. And thinking back, like, what was the thing that you learned about what New Zealand culture is that is so different from Syrian culture?
Yeah, it's so different. But I think the Maori culture, it's similar to Syrian culture.
Yeah, I can sense that as well to my Malay culture because
mm-hmm.
there are collectivistic values like community,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Community values that the Maori culture bring that is quite similar to mm-hmm. the Asian and
yeah,
Middle Eastern
yeah,
cultures.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, interesting. And you guys are also Muslims, am I right?
Yeah, we are.
Were there any differences practicing Islam when you were in Syria and Lebanon?
We didn't find like that much change, but here is no like mosques, just only one mosque here. Yeah, that is the only thing.
Yeah. Because back there must be a lot of mosques.
Lots of mosques. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the same as Malaysia as well. Like,
yeah,
I have like maybe 10 mosques in one area.
Yeah.
But he only one.
And also, like in Syria or Lebanon, you can hear the
azan.
The azan,
yeah.
Here you can't.
Yeah.
When you hear the azan, like, you feel happy from the inside, you know? Yeah.
So for people listening, azan is the call of prayer. So usually in Islamic majority countries, they would play that at every prayer times.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, just for context. Yeah, that's really something that I resonate with as well.
Yeah.
What about celebrating Eid?
Celebrating Eid, yeah. It's the same because in our culture, Eid is meaning like visiting friends and families.
So and here we are all friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Syrian community. Mm. Yeah. So we visit each other.
Like one big family,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, one big family. Yeah,
yeah, it's
spend
great.
Like the whole month visiting each other.
The whole month, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And how big is the Syrian community here in Dunedin? I know there's a lot, but
yeah, there are around 100 family maybe.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why you guys can have a lot of gatherings.
Yeah.
Hmm. And you would also like perform at the gatherings, right?
Yeah, of course.
So you must be very famous, yeah, with the Syrian community. Like, oh, the Habib brothers. Yeah. What about you? Do you feel anything different about the communities here?
It's good because we all of us, we know each other. So it's good for us.
Mm.
Yeah, in the beginning, it was not too much people from Syria. We were like maybe 20 to 50 families.
Yeah.
But now it's really big.
Yeah, because recently they've been getting
more refugees
in.
Yeah.
Which is good because the community is growing.
Yeah, and some of the refugees, we know them. They still, like in Lebanon or in Jordan, but we know them.
Oh.
So we talk to each other.
You mean you've known them before they arrived in New Zealand?
Yeah, some of them, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is like reunification,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
How does that feel, meeting people?
It's really very good. Because one of my friends here, yeah, we know him from Lebanon.
Oh.
We came together. We went to the camp together, you know?
Mm.
And we came to Dunedin together.
Yeah.
Ah.
Because some of them moved to Wellington, Auckland. They stayed in Hamilton, you know?
Ah.
Yeah.
And when you said that, did you have a choice to choose which city?
No, they chose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's good, like, to have friends from Lebanon and who stays with you till now.
Yes, yeah. And to have them in Dunedin.
Yeah.
You know?
Like
you don't have
my
to travel.
Ali. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yes. So now, let's talk about music. That is something I am very impressed with. The first time I know you was from the Red Cross meeting. They said that, oh, you have to meet the Harvey brothers. You're so good. And then I was talking to you on Facebook. I saw a post that the mayor posted.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the fifth year anniversary. For a refugee, mm-hmm, in Dunedin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you guys were performing.
Yeah,
yeah, so I did see that you guys do Facebook Live as well.
Yeah, we do Facebook Live.
So can you tell us, like, your passion for music, when did it start?
For me, I started singing when I was 7 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, with my uncle. Yeah. But when we moved to Lebanon, we used to work more than we sing or we play music. It was hard when we came to New Zealand to bring some music that we use for our songs or something. So
the
my
instruments.
My brother, he bring the org with him, the org that we use for our music.
Yeah, I was watching my uncle when he played the keyboards. Yeah, and I was very excited, like, to do that with him. And he taught me some of the rules for the keyboard.
Mm.
Yeah, and when I moved to Lebanon, I stopped playing because it's hard to get a keyboard. It's expensive. Yeah, but I worked more hours to get some more money and buy a new keyboard. Yeah, so I bought a new keyboard and start learning with myself.
Is this the keyboard you brought today?
No,
different.
Yeah, this one I bought it from Lebanon as well, and I shipped it to New Zealand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you shipped it here.
Yeah, because he sold his keyboard before we came.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's easier to have the money and buy than bringing the big thing.
At first, I thought, like, to buy a new one in New Zealand. But when I came here, yeah. I didn't find any like Western keyboards, you know.
So there's a special one that you use.
Yes, we use special one.
Interesting. So everything started from your uncle.
Yeah, from my uncle.
Yeah,
because like our uncles are
musical. All of them is musicals.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're all musical.
Yeah, one of them singer and the other one keyboarder.
Wow.
The other one on the
Photographer.
Camera.
Photographer.
Yeah, photographer.
So they're all very creative people.
Yeah.
So I sense that you guys get inspiration from family.
Yeah.
Like music from your uncle, hair from your father. I think that's very special.
Yeah.
That uncle, is he here in Dunedin?
He's
in Nimsa,
near Germany, in Nimsa.
Nimsa. I think it's
he's
it's
in Vienna. Vienna.
Vienna.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Okay, I can imagine.
You know the name of the country?
Yeah, I don't know the name of the country. I'm very bad at geography. But it's in Vienna, and I know that a lot of our listeners know that. Sorry for our lack of knowledge. But wow, so he went to Vienna when?
As a refugee also. Yeah.
So you haven't met him ever since you guys moved? Yeah.
Almost 7 years.
Do you guys talk?
Yeah, sure.
We always talk, and he always teach me. How to do that.
Oh.
As well.
Yeah, by the phone.
Yeah, he always supports me.
See how technology works out? Like, you can teach people.
Yeah,
through phone.
Yeah.
So, do you think he can? He's still like your English. Your music teacher.
Yeah, of course.
That's very good. It's very special. So you did say that you learned when you were young, and then suddenly you had to stop playing. And when did you start playing music again when you were in New Zealand?
2018 or 19, I think.
When we moved to Dunedin, we decided to start our music. So in 2019, maybe, I used to make my own music. My own song. So I make three of my own song, and I post them on the YouTube, and my Facebook page is Al Harbi Music. I get many views.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Was there a reason why you feel the need to do that at that moment?
We
just hobby and
you know. We miss our music, so we decide to use them again.
How did it feel the first time when, you know, you took a long break, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you start again, was it hard to practice again playing the instrument?
Yeah, in the first year it was hard, especially when I get my own music, my own song. They play it in Lebanon. For the music, they play it in Lebanon.
Oh, wow.
Then they send the song for me. Then I just want to put my voice. So I went to some studio in Dunedin. But it was really hard in the beginning because I sing in Arabic and he didn't understand how it worked. So, we just stayed more than 4 to 5 hours to make one song.
Oh.
But now it gets easily.
Yeah, because I think there was a communication barrier at that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So now, do you do performances a lot during events? Like, do they tell you when there is an event that you would perform? Or you just play?
Actually, the Red Cross always tell us, like, there is an event next week or in the weekend, you know? If you can come and join us, do some music, because they are very happy when we play the music, you know, especially with the community, because they gather the community together.
Yeah. It's a special moment.
Special moment, yeah.
Especially because you sing in your own language.
Yeah, of course.
I'm interested to know what are the meanings behind the song, because I can't speak Arabic and I don't understand.
Yeah.
But can you explain, like, what kind of things do you sing about?
I sing about the life. I sing also about love and
life, love, friends.
Yeah, some of my songs about friends.
Friends, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's special. So it's about, like, people.
Yeah, yeah, about people.
And you've had 3 songs now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My new song is will come maybe next week, the week after.
Oh, that's a promo. And where can people find the songs?
On my page on Facebook or on our YouTube page.
What's the name?
On the YouTube, it's under my name, Aladdin Al Harbi. But on the Facebook is the name of the page, Al Harbi Music.
Can you spell it for us so that our listeners can search?
Yeah, sure. It's Alharbi space music.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you. It helps me as well to find it later. Yay. So we will hear you guys play your music later, because you guys brought your keyboard and we're going to set everything up for our listeners to hear during the break later. But before we do that, let's talk about some reflections. Any advice that you can share with us? Because you guys lived a very long life,
yeah.
Even though you guys are 23 and 24, but you became adults very early. What would you advise to anyone listening?
Like, always have a goal and never give up. Work hard. Yeah.
Always have a goal.
Yeah, always have a goal.
Because when you were working, you had that goal, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like you were doing things aimlessly.
Yeah,
like,
because if you don't have a goal and you go to work, so it's going to be very hard to continue your work. But if you have a goal, you have to continue working, even if it's hard, like to reach your goal, you know?
It's a motivation, right?
Yeah.
And what was your goal back then when you were working at the as the waiter?
Mm-hmm.
What was your goal?
My goal was like to be a very famous keyboarder.
Wow.
Yeah. Just.
And now you are famous. We're talking in Dunedin community. And I'm sure this podcast will be shared to your family and friends. Yeah. As you are now working as a barber, what's your goal now?
My goal now, just to improve my life, like buy my own house, you know? Yeah, open a new shop, just to improve.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And to have this kind of mindset at a very young age, I think it's very important, right? Like, the early 20s is such a... It's like an age where you have to set goals, you know, set intentions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, niat, you know, like what you want to be in your future.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing
You're
that.
Welcome.
Yeah, what about you, Aladdin?
I think you have the same what my brother said. You have to put a goal to get it and never give up. Yeah, but all the support that we get from my mom and my dad, my mom is support us a lot.
I think hearing your stories, it really shows you guys have very supportive families. Like your dad supported you,
my
your
family
uncle
is
our family didn't give us everything, but they gave us whatever they have, you know?
And they also taught you this, gave you the opportunities to find the skills you need. You know? Because sometimes, you know, you can just give money and then, you know, but
You
teach you how to get money.
Yeah.
You're right.
And that's really powerful. And your mom as well raised 7 children. You know, I think that's a really powerful woman. Yeah. Do you have any final words to say before we listen to your music?
Thank you for your listening.
Yep, thanks for your listening, and I hope you enjoy
our music.
Yep, okay, so we'll be right back.
سألوني الناس عنك يا حبيبي، كتبوا المكاتيب وأخدها الهوى. بيعز علي غني لحبيبي لأول مرة ما بنكون سوا. سألوني الناس عنك يا حبيبي، كتبوا المكاتيب وأخدها الهوى. بيعز علي غني لحبيبي لأول مرة ما بنكون سوا. عنك سألوني قلت له نراجع وعتلوموني. سألوني الناس عنك سألوني، قلت له نراجع وعتلوموني. غمضت عيوني خوفي للناس، شوفوك مخبى بعيوني. وهب الهوى وبكاني الهوى، أول مرة ما بنكون سوا. وسألوني كتبوا المكاتيب وأخدها الهوى. بيعز علي غني لحبيبي لأول مرة ما بنكون سوا. أخدها الهوى. بيعز علي غني لحبيبي لأول مرة ما بنكون سوا. طبت قلبي مشكلتي دمرت لي حياتي دمرت لي حياتي ربعي طلعوا غداري واني على نياتي واني على نياتي طبت قلبي مشكلتي دمرت لي حياتي دمرت لي حياتي ربعي طلعوا كذابي واني على نياتي واني على نياتي يا الحربي العتب مو عالدنيا عساكنين البيها عساكنين البيها الكل يدور ما صالح ما في حدا يوافيها ما في حدا يوافيها العتب مو عالدنيا عساكنين البيها عساكنين البيها الكل يدور ما صالح ما في حدا يوافيها ما في حدا يوافيها ما ضل حب بهالدنيا ما ضل غير الخيانة ما ضل غير الخيانة ما ضل حدا نأمن بيه يا دنيا يا خوانة يا دنيا يا خوانة ما ضل حب بهالدنيا ما ضل غير الخيانة ما ضل غير الخيانة ما ضل حدا نأمن بيه يا دنيا يا خوانة يا دنيا يا خوانة طيبت قلبي مشكلتي دمرت لي حياتي دمرت لي حياتي ربعي طلعوا غداري واني على نياتي واني على نياتي طيبت قلبي مشكلتي دمرت لي حياتي دمرت لي حياتي ربعي طلعوا كذابي واني على نياتي واني على نياتي مع السلامي لو نويت تروح مع السلامي يا غلا من الروح مع السلامي مع السلامي تنساني تنساها العهود وعا تنساني يا ابو عيون السود وعا تنساني وعا تنساني ونادامي بعدك عن العين حسرة ونادامي غايب عني وين وين حسرة ونادامي حسرة ونادامي خليك بجنبه عن عيني لا تغيب خليك بجنبه يا أغلى حبيب خليك بجنبه خليك بجنبه بغيابك رح موت موتت هاي العين بغيابك رح موت موتت هاي السنين بغيابك رح موت بغيابك رح موت مع السلامي لو نويت تروح مع السلامي يا أغلى من الروح مع السلامي مع السلامي
And that was Muhammad and Aladdin, the Syrian bardists who performed music for us today. Unfortunately, that is the end of our show today. Join myself, Arina, the station's community connector, every Friday at 12 p.m. for the new Connecting Cultures Features live show, featuring interviews with the multicultural people of Dunedin and our amazing Connecting Cultures broadcasters. You get to hear songs from all kinds of languages, news and updates from the multi-ethnic community. Up next, we have the Dunedin Community Notice Board for you to find out about events and notices from the Dunedin community. Thanks for listening to Connecting Cultures Features on RFM.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.